if, you know, this virus by the name of the coronavirus or COVID-19 would have literally paralyzed the whole world, most of us probably would have said, no, that ain't going to happen, you know, but here it is. Here we are now. You know, here we are now in the midst of a pandemic. But that's not the only thing. Of course, that has our attention right now. But these are very troubling days. See, these are very troubling days. I mean, you just got random shootings. I mean, when you go on your job tomorrow, you don't know that some deranged coworker just come up in there and just start shooting. I still do a little chaplain ministry a couple of hours a week. I go down to Pilgrim's Pride, and they got signs up everywhere. There are no firearms on print, no firearms. And I was down there a couple of weeks ago, and a big fight broke out. You know, they got a couple, you know, they hiring a lot of people, and they have quite a few gang members there. So they're really, literally, some of the men, they're really terrified. Hey, somebody going to come up here with a gun and just start shooting. So they've installed some gates where you got to have all kind of cars to get in. And all that stuff is okay. That's good. That little safety precaution. We need to be safe. We need to be careful. But again, I'm glad that I rest in the security of our God. I rest in the security of Jesus Christ. I'm not confused. We got a little alarm system at our house, and we set it every night. But I'm not, when I lay down at night, I'm not laying down peacefully because Guardian or whatever name, ADT is out there. I can rest at night because I know God is protecting our house. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I know God, Brother Rodney, is protecting our house. You know, ADT, they malfunction sometimes. That's what we use here at the church. Every now and then they malfunction. You know, the battery go out and all that stuff. But God, he's always on the throne. He's always in charge. So, but in these troubling times, saints, you and I, you better have an effective prayer life. You better know how to get a prayer through, a prayer during these troubling times. And so it is. Jesus teaches his disciples. Jesus teaches you and me a good example, a good model, if you will, of some of the elements that needs to be in your prayer life and my prayer life. Let me say this on the very beginning. The best thing is to make sure you got proper motives and a sincere and a genuine heart, a contrite heart, a repentant heart. Cause you can have all the right little elements and A, B, and C, but if your heart is not right with the Lord, if your heart is not right with Jesus, your prayer is going to be just bouncing off the ceiling anyway. So the first thing is to have a contrite and a right heart before God. The psalmist says this. The psalmist says, who can approach the holy hill of God? That's a very good question. Who can come into the presence of a holy God? Y'all know the answer, right? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart. In other words, we can't just rush into God's presence with all kind of unconfessed sin in our lives. We need to come clean before God. I said we need to come clean before God. Prayer, if you're taking notes, prayer, just a good little definition I found for prayer. Prayer is communion with God. Communion, or talking with, or hanging out with, or communion, or fellowshipping with. It's communion with God. In order to intimately know, love, and worship him. It's communion with God in order to intimately know, love, and worship him. Notice I didn't say it's hanging out with God, try to get more stuff from him and try to get him to do more stuff for you. No, the main motive of prayer, your prayer life, my prayer life, should be just to commune with God. Just to hang out with God, just to know him more intimately, just to worship him more sincerely, just to love him more, just to hang out with God more. Think about it. He's the God of the universe. I said he's the God of the universe, and he seeks an audience with you and me. That's a mind-blowing thing. I said that's a mind-blowing thing, the one who just spoke everything into existence. I mean, he hears me when I talk to him. So prayer is just simply communing with God. To get to know him better, to get to love him more deeply and worship him more sincerely. Prayer helps us. And prayer is a privilege, by the way. Am I the only one? Sometimes I almost treat prayer like a drudgery or something else to do. I'm just telling off on myself. I'm the only one to do that every now and then. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer is a privilege. I get to talk to the God of the universe. I get to talk to Jesus Christ. A privilege. Prayer helps us, listen, prayer helps us to understand and conform our lives, our will to God's will and his ways. See, as you and I are praying, God is doing some stuff inside of us. I said, as God is praying, too often we think about when we're praying, what's going to happen out there. Yeah, that's good. We prayed about some things this morning. But when I am praying, when you are praying, God is doing some stuff deep down inside of us. I said, God is working some stuff in us while we are praying. And he knows how to get our attention to cause us to pray a little more. I don't know about you, but I've been praying a little more these last few days. I was in a big public place last night. I had to be there. It was a lot of people there. And I tell you, I was praying. I said, Lord, I know you're in control of all this stuff. And they're still trying to figure out this thing airborne or by skin or how you get these things. But I know you can protect me. And I'm still here, so I must be okay. I made it okay. But you know, we need to pray. We need to pray, saints. Prayer ain't about just asking God for stuff. It's not just about asking God for stuff. It's asking God for a closer relationship with him. Prayer is asking God to develop in you and in me the mind of Christ. There it is. Lord, help me to think like Jesus. That's a good prayer. Help me to think like Jesus. Let me say that one more time. Help me to think like Jesus. That's a good prayer. Lord, help me to think like Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Lord, help me. Prayer, another thing that prayer does, Sister Ingram, it helps us to access and to advance God's kingdom. I'm going to talk about his kingdom in just a minute. Prayer helps us to access and to advance God's kingdom. It helps us to access, listen, it helps us to access God's power. It does. And it helps us to display and to show him off. See, our prayer life shouldn't be, once again, just about us, obviously. It should be to show God off. To show God off. This is a quick review from last week. Knowing that God is our Father in verse 9 says, our Father in heaven, our Father in heaven. Knowing that God is our Father, it removes fear. This is from last week. This is a quick review. It removes fear. I gave this to you last week. I mean, we need to be wise. We need to have wisdom. But the fact that I know that God is my Father, that removes a certain element of fear. Knowing that God is our Father, it should give you some peace. It should give you some joy. It should give you some hope. Knowing that God is our Father, it should comfort us once again, especially during these troubling times. It should bring you and I comfort. Now, the people of God, we shouldn't respond to things the way the world does. Let me say that one more time. As a child of God, you and I shouldn't respond to things the way that the pagan does. You know, the people that don't know God, they are totally confused. And really, this is a great opportunity for the Christian. It's really a great opportunity for the church to let our light shine all the more. To tell people that, hey, God still got everything under control. And the question for them is, people that don't know Christ, don't know God, the question for them is they need to repent and turn to the Lord. There was an occasion, I was talking to Sister Moore about it early this morning. It's in Luke 10 or 11, I believe. And Jesus was, they were talking about, it was a catastrophe. A tower had fallen and thousands of people were killed. And people were kind of up in arms like, Jesus, why did that happen? Why did that happen? And Jesus, to kind of paraphrase him, he basically said, hey, are you all trying to say that they were less righteous than you? And this is what Jesus told them when they talked about this natural disaster, thousands of people killed. Jesus looked at them very stern and Jesus said, unless you repent, a worse thing can happen to you. So as we look at all these things that are going on in the world, it points really back to the very simple question of where does a person stand with Jesus? Where does a person stand with God? Because, you know, we're going to have ups and downs. We're going to have trials and tribulations. We're going to have wars and rumors of wars. We're going to have all kind of chaotic things going on. Read your Bible. But it still comes back to that question is, what's your relationship with the Lord? Now, if you're on his side, you're on the right side. If you're on his side, you're on the right side, baby. You're on the right side if you're on his side. Even though you go through storms, even though we go through trials and tribulations, it's good to know that we can, this is not a cliche, this is a Bible verse, we can have joy in the midst of sorrows. We can have peace in the midst of a storm. Oh, I'm not just making this up. I'm telling you, we can have peace in the midst of a storm. I ought to have about five or six witnesses in here. You can have peace in the midst of a storm. Like I said, even last night when I was in the midst of all these people, I still had some peace. I was like, Lord, I'm getting out of here as soon as I can, though. But I had some peace, though. So knowing that God is our Father, here it is, settles the matter of resources. God has everything. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the hills too. He owns all the gold and silver, the Bible says. This is from last week. Knowing that God is our Father settles the matter, at least it should, settle the matter of loneliness. I mean, God said he would never leave us, Sister Flippin, nor forsake us. He would never leave us. Jesus said, Matthew 28, I am with you always. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. Knowing that God is our Father settles a matter of obedience. It should anyway. You know, God is our Father. We should want to obey him. We should want to listen to him. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. They obey my voice and they follow me. Knowing God is our Father settles a matter of selfishness, and I'm going to deal with that in verse 10, but knowing that God is our Father, he's not just my Father. He's not just my Father, just your Father. He's our Father. So that should settle the matter of selfishness. So when we pray, think about others. Pray for others like we attempted to do this morning. Pray for missionaries. Pray for our political leaders. Pray for your next door neighbor. Pray for your coworker. Pray for others. Here it is. Latter part of verse 9 says, hallowed be your name. Now see, again, God is our Father, right? That's a very endearing thing. He is Abba, Father, Daddy, Papa. But also, it's kind of like, as I often mentioned, almost like a little tension. He is our Father, but he is God. Can I say that again? He is God. God the Father. He is to be reverenced. He is to be revered. He is to be respected. We are to stand in awe of him. He is God, the God of the universe. He's the God who told Moses, who he and Moses were tight. But you know, when Moses came up on the mountain and the Lord spoke to him through the burning bush, he said, hold up, Moses, hold up. Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. Now what was so holy about that mountain? God, that's right. The mountain wasn't holy in and of itself. It's because God was there. The presence of God was there. God said, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. Let's look at verse 10. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, this verse right here teaches us, saints, that our prayers need to be Christ-centered and not so self-centered. Can I say that again? Our prayers need to be Christ-centered and not so self-centered. Jesus said, pray like this. Pray, Father, dear God, let your kingdom come. And I'll talk a little bit more about God's kingdom in a minute. God's kingdom is really just his rule, his reign, his program being operated here on earth. God's kingdom. That your kingdom come, dear God, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will be done. Father, I'm praying that your will be done. See, because we don't know what's the best. We don't know the best way to how this thing should turn out. Anything in our lives or anything with this virus. We don't know the best way for this thing to turn out. We might think we know, but God knows the best way how this thing need to turn out. So God, let your will be done. You know, we praying that, yeah, they come up with some, you know, answers and all that, but we don't know. God may say, no, I don't want to answer for it right now. Pray that his will be done. Pray that God's will would be done. We need to pray more like Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was getting ready to go to Calvary's cross. You know, he came to earth. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. He came to earth with the cross, Brother Tyler, in his view. He knew he had to go to Calvary's cross to die for people like me and you. He knew he had to go to the cross. But here it is on that Thursday night before he's getting ready to go to the cross on Friday, when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, if I have a few Bible readers, he went into the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed. He said, Father, if there's any way, remove this cup from me. I'm sure he saw your sins and my sins that were going to be placed on him. And I'm sure he was envisioning there's going to be some kind of disconnect between me and the Father, because God is holy and I'm holy, but I'm going to have the sins of the world on me. He said, Father, if there's any other way, remove this cup from me. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Oh, y'all not hearing me. We need to pray more like this. Say, God, this is the way I wanted to go. I wish this happened like this, but hold on. Nevertheless, not my will, dear Lord, but thy will be done. You know what's best for me anyway. You know the best way for this thing to turn out. So answer in a way that will bring you glory. And I know it ultimately be for my good. You know, as we grow as Christians, our prayers do become more for his will rather than our will. I recall about 4 years ago when my mother was, she was 80 then, and she's 84 now, heading toward 85. But I remember when she was 80, she had began to have some things going on in her life medically. And many of y'all remember this and y'all prayed for her. And her food wasn't digesting properly and stuff was building up and she got fluid in the lungs. It's all kinds of, long story short, she almost died. And so, you know, I went to Arkansas and we were talking and we were praying and talking. And she asked me, she said, where is it in the Bible where, you know, that guy prayed for some years to be added to his life? And I said, yeah, King Hezekiah. And we turned over there and, you know, God had told Isaiah the prophet to go to King Hezekiah to tell him, his time is up. You've been a good king, but it's time for you to come on home to glory now. So Isaiah went and delivered the mail like he should have and told King Hezekiah that God said, get your house in order. You about to die. Get your house in order. And King Hezekiah, the Bible said, King Hezekiah prayed and said, God, you know, I've been a good king. I've been trying to do your will. And he just poured out his heart to God. And so Isaiah leaves, and Isaiah couldn't even get out of the courtyard good. Isaiah couldn't even get to his car good. And God said, Isaiah, go back and tell King Hezekiah, I'm going to add not one, not two, not three, but 15 more years to his life. Oh, that's okay. That's good news. I mean, I'm looking forward to going to heaven, but I want to stay around here a little longer, you know. And so God gave him 15 more years. And so me and my mom, we prayed it. I read it, and we prayed that. And then this is what really blessed my heart. After that, this is 4 years ago. After we had prayed, my mother, who's a Christian, she said, you know, I want to live longer, but not my will. God's will be done. And I was all right then. I said, okay, Lord, whatever you know, I'm all right. Whatever you, and by God's grace, he decided to give her a few more years. She's still here, but her health is kind of a little rough now, but she's still here. But my point is this, as we live and grow, we learn to say, okay, God, whatever it is, yeah, I want to stay here a little longer. I want to live a little longer, see my grandkids and great grandkids growing up or whatever, but not my will, but thy will be done. But thy will be done. Brother Howie, y'all remember, Sister Howie's husband, Brother Howie, who's with the Lord now. I'll never forget this when he was down at General Hospital and I went and visited with him one day and he was in, you know, he was no one doing so well. And I'm just talking about God's will, not our will. This is what he said, laying there, literally laying there on his deathbed. He said, Pastor, he said, I tell you, I can't see God's hand. Meaning he can't really see and know what God is doing. I can't see God. This is what he said. He said, I can't see God's hand. He said, but I know his heart. Oh, y'all not here. He said, but I know his heart. So he was saying, whatever's going on, I don't know why I'm sick. I don't know why I'm going through all this. I can't see God's hand, but I trust his heart. I trust his ways. And you know, we love the story. We say, hey, you know, he got better and he got up and he still it. But now the Lord decided, Brother Howard said he trusted God's heart. So God decided to bring him on to glory. So it's just you and me learning to trust God's heart. To trust his will above our will. Matter of fact, that's part of praying. Once again, it bends our will and conforms it more to his will. We too often want to say, God, you know, change his will into our will. It's more conforming us to his will. Y'all with me this morning? I'm talking about a prayer for troubling times. And so he says here, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now really, exactly what does this mean? What does this mean? Let's kind of unpack this a little bit more. It's going to be on the screen. Psalms 103:20. When we talk about, you know, there are many things I can share, but I'm just going to share a few things. When we talk about God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, first, we need to peer a peek into heaven and see what's going on up in heaven. See how things are operating in heaven. If we really want to say, God, I pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, let's look and see what's going on in heaven. Right? Right? Doesn't that make sense? Right? Look at Psalms 103:20. Psalms 103:20 says this. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength. And here it is. Who do his word. Y'all see that? Is that in your Bible? heeding the voice of his word. It's on the screen as well. So here it is. In heaven, the angels are doing God's word. They are heeding the voice of God. So write this down. If you're taking notes, write this down. When we are praying, God, I pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We should simply be praying, my brothers and sisters, that every person on earth, be surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good prayer. Anytime, any day, any moment. Praying that every person on earth be surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, that means praying for the salvation of the lost. But also, here it is, praying for the obedience of the saints. You praying for everybody to be surrendered to the Lord. It's not just praying for the lost. That's a big part of it, praying for those that are unsaved. But let's be honest, praying for you and me. Praying that you and I, the people of God, the children of God, would be surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would be obedient to his will and not our will. And don't you know it's good to know this God's desire. When you talk about God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's God's will. It's God's desire. Listen, that none should perish. That none should go to hell, Brother Chris. That none should go to hell. That's good news. It's God's desire. It's God's desire that none should go to hell. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Here's the gospel, that whosoever believes in him, whosoever has faith and trust in Jesus Christ shall not perish, shall not go to hell, but shall have everlasting life. And sometimes we close our Bibles and quit reading too soon. John 3:17 said, for God did not send his son into this world to condemn the world. Let me stop right there just for a moment. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're not in Christ Jesus, you better get in Christ Jesus. Because if you're not in Christ Jesus, you condemned already. But there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For God did not send his son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, that's a good God. That's a good God. That's a good God. Jesus himself said, I've come to seek and to save, to seek and to look for, to run after, to seek and to save those who are lost. I'm just going to get personal just for a moment. I'm glad back in August of 1992, Jesus had been running me down for many years. And I'm glad back in August of 1992, he ran me down and arrested my sin-sick soul. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. I'm glad he found me. See, I didn't find him. Let's change these songs. I was looking for my Jesus way out there on a hill. I found Jesus. No, you didn't find Jesus. Jesus found you. Jesus came and got you. Jesus ran you down. Jesus pulled you up out of the club or wherever you were. He pulled you up out of your sin. He pulled you up out of your self-righteousness. He pulled you up out of your hypocrisy. Wherever you were, Jesus came and got you. Jesus came and got me. That's what he came to do. He said, I've come to seek and to save. Oh, I'm glad we got a God who seeks and saves those who are lost. And guess what? All of us either in that category now or fitted in that category, because all have been seen. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the free gift of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, we got a glorious gospel. We got some good news, saints. We got some good news to share with a very hurting world. I'm talking about a prayer for troubling times. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. They obey my voice and they follow me. So as we pray for salvation of the lost and pray for obedience of us, the saints. Pray that the whole world would be surrendered to the Lord. That's when we talk about God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, the last time there was some kind of rebellion in heaven, ain't no rebellion up in heaven. Let me say that again. Ain't no rebellion up in heaven. The last time there was a rebellion up in heaven, guess what happened? Lucifer and about a third of the angels got kicked out, got evicted. So when you look into heaven, talking about God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the goal, is perfectly following our Lord, perfectly obeying our Lord. And when we do sin, quickly confess, Lord, forgive me, I repent. Ain't no rebellion in heaven. They say the last fellow that tried that, he got kicked out. We ain't rebel. We lining up. We obeying God. He's in control. Another thing, praying for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is another thing it means. It means a lot of things. This is, I'm just giving you a few. You and I should be praying for righteousness and against wickedness. You and I should be praying for righteousness. That's still a good word to use in the Christian church, right? Righteousness is still a good word to use. And we should all be striving to live righteously, right? Matter of fact, if you're in Christ, you've been justified, you've been declared righteous, so you and I should be striving to live that way. So we should be praying for righteousness and against wickedness. Psalm 68:1 says, and listen to what the psalmist said. He said, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him. Now that's a pretty rough prayer. The psalmist said, hey, those who are against God, let them be scattered. Let those who hate God, let them flee or run before him. So you and I, we should be praying for righteousness and praying against wickedness. Listen to Revelation 6:10. We're going to put that on the screen. Revelation 6:10. This is futuristically. Those who have died and gone on to glory, the saints. I think even specifically here, some would argue these are the ones that got killed during the tribulation time. But listen to what they're saying. Listen to their prayers in heaven. Revelation 6:10, Brother Chris. And they cried with a loud voice on the screen. They cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? They were basically saying, God, how long before you get them? Those who took our lives, those who beheaded us, those who took care of us. God, how long before you get them? That's what their prayer was, Revelation 6:10. So as we pray, we need to pray for righteousness and pray against wickedness. Here's another one. I'm talking about a prayer for troubling times, how to get a prayer through, how to have an effective prayer life, praying that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen to this. Write this down. When you and I pray, pray in faith, believing that God would hear and answer your prayer. When you and I pray in faith, believing that God hears and he's going to answer your prayer. Now, let me quickly say this now. He's going to hear and answer. As a Christian, you need to pray knowing he's going to hear and answer. Now, sometimes he does say yes. We love that one. Sometimes he says no. But you know, we can deal with that one. Sometimes. I think the worst one, Sister Shana, sometimes when he says wait, when he says pause, when it seems like he's silent. But as you pray, as I pray, we need to know as a child of God that God hears, Sister Kato, that he hears and answers our prayers. But sometimes you and I are all guilty. We pray and we don't even think, you know, I don't think we necessarily, I hope we don't not think God can't do it, but we just thinking maybe he ain't going to do it. But when you and I pray, we got to pray and say, God, you're going to work this thing out. I don't know how you're going to do it. But let me show you a biblical example. I'm going to show you a good church meeting, a good church prayer meeting that they were praying, but they didn't really believe God was going to do it. You know, everything we talk about, everything I preach, everything we need to see is in the Bible. So you can either turn there or it's going to be on the screen. I'm going to give you a biblical example. Y'all can't say, well, Pastor's up there making up some stuff. No, I ain't making this up. It's right in the Bible. It's been written down. Acts chapter 12. Turn with me to Acts chapter 12, and it's also going to be on the screen. Acts chapter 12, verses 5 through 17, talking about how when you and I pray, I'm talking about a prayer during troubling times, how to get a prayer through, how to have an effective or more effective prayer life. Here were these saints. They were praying. Acts chapter 12, a little background of this is, you know, the Christian faith was really growing and spreading, and King Herod, a wicked king, and the Jewish leaders who didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, they were against the church. Y'all know that, right? They were against the church. And so King Herod, in verses 1 through 5, they get James, one of the James, the brother of John, and he got him and killed him with the sword. King Herod did. And so he did that. It pleased the Jews. The Jews were like, yeah, kill some more of them. Kill some more. And so King Herod said, okay, that's what the people want. I want to be a popular king. And so King Herod goes and arrests Peter, kind of like the lead brother. You know, he was one of the priests on the day of Pentecost, you know, and 3,000 souls got saved. So he said, it really pleased him when I killed James. Let me go get Peter and put him in jail. We're going to maybe kill him soon. So that's the background, right? King Herod, this evil king, has Peter, brother Peter, you know, Peter, the one who cuts off people's ears and stuff. Peter, you know, the one who denied Jesus 3 times. You know, Peter, this Peter. You think about it, he denied Jesus not once, not twice, but 3 times. I almost digressed to Commodores one time. Nah, I won't go there. I won't go there. I almost went back in the 70s, brother, right? But now this is Peter. He's in prison. So look at verse number 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison. Now remind you now, once again, his buddy, his brother there, another Christian brother, had just had his head cut off. And so now Peter is in prison. So get the picture. Peter is in prison by King Herod, likely about to get killed by Aaron himself. And so Peter's in prison. But constant prayer. Somebody say constant prayer. Constant prayer. If the saints need to, we need to pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Constant prayer was offered up to God for him by the church. Somebody said the church was praying. Church was praying. They were praying for Peter. They probably was praying something like, Lord, you know, our brother James just had his head cut off. Lord, protect him. Lord, get him out of there. Lord, you know, they were praying. And Peter's in prison. I love this. Peter was in prison. That night, Peter was doing what? You reading your Bibles? Peter was doing what? Wait a minute. Now, Peter's in jail. James just got killed, got his head cut off. And Peter's in jail. Probably the next thing going to happen. And this brother's sleeping. I mean, he ain't up all night, you know, anxiety and stressed out and worried. And he's sleeping. Now, surely if he can sleep in prison, knowing his head might get cut off, surely you ought to be able to go home and sleep tonight and get some rest and rest. Your God is in control. I don't think any of us necessarily gonna get our head cut off tomorrow or get thrown in jail tomorrow. You know, he's sleeping. And so then look, it gets gooder. Peter was sleeping, bound with 2 chains between 2 soldiers. So they had him. I mean, he's in jail. They got him bound, brother and sister Kelly, between 2 soldiers. They got him on lockdown for real. He ain't going nowhere. He ain't getting away. And now behold, verse 7. See, somebody said the church was praying. Church was praying. Y'all, I want you to get that now. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, by Peter, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off of his hands. Excuse me, I've read this about 20 times this week, so y'all missing some of these things I'm getting, but chains just fell off his hands. Let me say that one more time. Chains just fell off his hands. Our God can make some stuff happen. I'm telling you, chains just fell off his hands. If he can make chains just fall off his hands, when he gets ready, he can cure this coronavirus. If he can make chains just fall off his hands, chain just fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals, put your shoes on. And so he did. Peter did. And the angel said to him, put on your garment and follow me. You know, get dressed. So Peter went out and followed him. And watch this. And did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Peter, brother Peter was sleeping so good. You know, the Bible said he was sleeping, right? Peter said, man, I'm dreaming, man. This is a good dream. This angel made the chains come off of me. Man, this is a good dream. I'm having a good dream. He thought it was a vision. Thought it was a dream. See, then they went past the first and the second guard posts. They came to the iron gate. See, we read our Bibles too fast sometimes. Imagine it. They came past the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of his own accord. How many of y'all know God can open up some doors that are closed, some doors that are closed? He can just open them up. And then he can close them back when he wants to. Doors just open. They didn't even have that little, you know, usually have a little badge or something, make doors open. They didn't even have none of that. No motion detector, nothing. The door just open. Just open up. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel just gone, departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and that the Lord has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all of the expectations of the Jewish people." Peter said, "No, I ain't dreaming. I know for certain that the Lord himself has delivered me from King Herod and from the wishes of all the people." My head ain't gonna get cut off tomorrow. It might get cut off next week or next Monday. He ended up getting crucified upside down, tradition said. But he said, it ain't gonna happen tomorrow. My God has delivered. How many of y'all know God is a delivering God? God can deliver you. He can deliver me out of some mess. He's a delivering God. Peter said, "I ain't dreaming. This is too good. This is too good to be true, but it's true. My God has delivered me from the hand of the enemy." Anybody got some enemies trying to take you down? Some stuff trying to take you down? It might be medical. It might be diseases. It might be somebody on your job. It might be somebody in your community. But God can deliver us from our enemies. He can deliver us. Wait a minute, do a heat check. Just look in the mirror. He's delivered us today. We here today, right? We here today. Surely he's delivered us from some stuff that should have taken us out. God is a mighty deliverer. My God is a mighty deliverer. My God is a mighty deliverer. He's a mighty deliverer. Oh, he can deliver you. I tell you, he can deliver you. He can deliver us out of some stuff. He can deliver us. And Peter said, "Hey, I ain't dreaming. I've been delivered. Set free." And then remember the church is praying for him, right? So watch what Peter does. I'm trying to hasten on. And Peter had come to himself and said, "Now I know for certain God has delivered me. What was going to go down, not going to go down." Verse 12. So when he had considered this, he thought about it, pondered it. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark. Where many, somebody said many. Many were gathered together to do what? Let's just say that again. Many were gathered together to do what? Praying. Again, saints, don't miss this. This is a side note, but it is a central note and a side note all at the same time. The church, Peter was in jail. The church said, "Hey, let's have a little prayer meeting. Let's get together and pray for God to move on behalf of Peter." The church gets together and they're praying. I'm just talking about how God is so awesome. The church is praying for God to move on Peter's behalf. And we see God move and let Peter out of jail, right? So let's look and see how the prayer meeting, how they responded to the answer to their prayer. This is my point, really. When we pray, we got to expect that God's going to hear an answer. So here comes Peter. He goes by the prayer house. He goes by Mary's house where they were praying. And verse 13 says, and Peter, he knocked on the door. He's knocking on the door, verse 13. And a girl named Rhoda, Sister Rhoda, came to answer. Sister Rhoda. I don't know what her parents were thinking, but Rhoda. Ain't nothing wrong with Rhoda. I don't know any Rhodas. Y'all know any Rhodas? R-H-O-D-A, Sister Rhoda. But Sister Rhoda came to the door. She came to the door. But listen to this thing. Here's my point. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, because see, Peter was in jail, but here he is knocking at the door. Sister Rhoda came to the door and she recognized his voice. She got so excited about it because of her gladness. She did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. So she was so excited. She was so amazed. She didn't even let the brother in. She didn't even let him in. She ran back. That's in the Bible. She ran back. You know how we get excited sometimes. She ran back. "Hey, Peter, Peter's out there." But look how they respond. This is the main way I shared. This is how they respond. They were praying, right? But they said to her, this is funny, but not funny. They said, "You are beside yourself. You crazy. Peter can't be out there. Peter in prison." But wait a minute. Weren't they praying for God to move on Peter's behalf? Weren't they praying? See, saints, we got to pray. We got to pray in faith, pray in belief that our God hears and he answers. Like sometimes he says yes, Brother Thomas. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. But our God answers. So we're not the only one that had this problem. Sometimes they had the problem. They said, well, Peter is in jail. You beside yourself. And she kept saying, no, it was Peter. So they said, it's his angel. Not just somebody looked like him. It's his angel. It's not Peter. You know how we do sometimes. Now, Peter kept on knocking. He said, man, if y'all don't let me in, I'm going to be back in jail for real. Y'all need to let me in. So Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were what? Astonished. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to teach this with balance and teach this clearly. I don't know about you, but I have prayed for some things. And see, God answered in such an amazing way. I have been astonished. I have just been blown away like, God, man, you're awesome. It's like we should know that by now, but still, God, sometimes when he does things, just blows your mind. So they were astonished. So I'm going to give them too hard of a time. They were astonished that this man was in jail, and James had gotten killed a few days later, and they praying, but they said, hey, no, it's all over, really, it's a wrap. And God gets him out. He comes and knocks on the door, and they said, man, we are astonished. And so Peter went on in and talked to him, told him basically what had happened, and he said, go tell the other brethren what happened, and then he went to another place. But my point in that those biblical verses, saints, is that when you and I pray, let's know that God's going to move. Again, I'm not trying to preach, quote unquote, the naming and claiming and prosperity gospel. He doesn't always do what we think he's supposed to do or what we ask him, but he's going to always move. He always moves. Y'all hear me? When the child of God calls out to God, he hears and he answers our prayers. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes wait. And oftentimes, most of the time, he don't answer in the way that we expected. But aren't you glad about that? I'm glad God hadn't answered some of my prayers the way I thought he should answer them. I'm like, oh, okay, as you look back on it, Lord, your way was a whole lot better. I'm glad you didn't listen to my little stuff. But when you and I pray, know that God hears and answers. That should bring comfort to our souls in these troubling days. And when we cry out to God, God hears and answers our prayers. So when we pray, we should try to pray for others, obviously, our God. Don't be so self-centered. But with that being said, see, this is a model. This is an example of how our prayer life should be. So verse 11, once again, God, Jesus always gives us perfect. He is perfect. He always gives us perfect balance. So look here, your prayer life, my prayer life should not be just so self-consumed and self-centered. But, somebody say, but. In verse 11, back in Matthew 6, verse 11, listen to what Jesus says. We're praying to God the Father. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And this request is more than just for food. Bread is symbolic of meaning all of our needs to be met. Y'all hear me? Jesus says, pray to your Father. Father, I got some needs. They might be physical needs, might be food, might be clothing, might be some kind of emotional or mental, whatever your needs are, whatever your needs are. Part of prayer is to humble us. See, you and I got to realize I ain't got this thing all figured out. I ain't got it all together. I need some help. I said, I need some help. I heard a brother, I was listening to a brother on YouTube. I shared this with Tanya. It was real funny. He had a sermon called Daddy Help Me. And he said he was taking a trip and he saw this little 5 or 6 year old girl. It's a cute little girl. And she got out of the car and said they had been riding a long way. And she just got out of the car. He was giving her all the descriptions. So she had a little Dora the Explorer suitcase and dragging along. He said he can tell that she was tired of riding in that car. He said she had all kind of luggage weighing down. He said she was to get me out. You know, if you ever travel with your kids or grandkids, you know how it is when they 5, 6, 7 years old. They ready to get where they want to go. And he said she was just kind of struggling. And she finally just figured out that she had too much stuff on her. And she just kind of dropped that stuff and said, Daddy, help me. And the preacher said, and I agree with him, if a little 6 or 7 year old girl can recognize she's carrying too much luggage, surely you and I, when we're carrying too much mess, we need to just turn around and say, Daddy, help us. That's what verse 11 is saying. Father, give me my daily bread. Help me, dear Lord. Help me to make this thing work right. Help me to balance the check. Help me to work this thing out right. Give me my daily need. There's nothing wrong with it. Give us this day our daily bread. Again, this is a model prayer showing some elements in our prayer life. So as you pray, as I pray, pray for your needs to be met. Now, remember verse 8, though. Now remember verse 8. God already knows the things you need before you ask him. So now you, not like you're giving God information he doesn't already know. I know you know that, but it's not like you're telling God. But it is admitting that, hey, Lord, I need some help with this. I need some help in this situation here. I got more month than money, so I need some help, Lord. Show me how to work this thing out. And so our God, it's amazing too. Our God, who owns everything. Our God, who has all power. Our God, who is sovereignly in control of all things, the coronavirus included. He has, watch this. This verse is a good example. Our God, listen, this is what Jesus teaches us. He has obligated himself to meet our needs. Somebody didn't hear that. I think y'all heard it over here. I don't know if y'all heard it over here. Our God has obligated himself to meet our needs. Hear me well. I'm saying, I ain't saying all about wants and desires. And he gives us some of those sometimes too. But he has obligated himself to meet all of our needs. Here it is. The psalmist said it with me. You can say it with me. I was young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The psalmist said, I've been surveying this thing. All my life, I've never seen the people of God go on and on and on needing stuff. And Jesus said, if you need something, ask God. I like what James said. James said, if anyone lacks wisdom, we need wisdom all the time. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. God, give me some wisdom. I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to act. God, give me some wisdom. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Whatever you need, ask God. I'm almost through. I'm almost out of your hair. But look at Matthew 6. If you got your Bibles open, or you can turn there and it's going to be on the screen. I want to make sure you see this. I just want to, from this prayer and from the word of God and from even during these troubling days, to from the word of God combined with the spirit of God, try to reassure you that our God got everything under control. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 6. It's still part of his Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to start at verse 24. It's on the screen. Listen to what Jesus said. I'm going to just pretty much read this. But this is coming under the point of ask God to meet your needs. He says, Jesus, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. One of them going to be the Lord. And then listen to what Jesus says. Therefore, listen to what he says. I say to you, do not worry. Somebody say, do not worry. Do not worry. Don't be stressed out. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or what about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And then Jesus gives us a great object lesson, Sister Kathy. He said, look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? That's a rhetorical question. The answer, of course, is yes. Are you not more valuable than the birds? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Matter of fact, worrying, if anything, going to take some years off our lives. Let me say that again. Excessive worrying, if anything, going to take some years off our lives. Let me say that one more time. Some excessive worrying are going to take some years off your life. So why do you worry, Jesus says, about clothing? Consider the lily of the fields, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. It's really, as a Christian, it's really an insult to God to be thinking that he ain't gonna take care of us. Skirt, rewind. Let me say that again. As a Christian, it's really an insult to God for us to think he's not gonna take care of us. Take care of our needs. Say, oh, ye a little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, meaning the pagans, the lost people in this context. See, you know, We are the ecclesia. We're the born again believers, the followers of God. Christ said, don't be thinking like the people don't have a relationship with God. Then he said, look, your heavenly Father knows, we read that in verse 8, knows that you need all these things. God knows what we need. I said, God knows what we need. That's one of his attributes. You know, he is omniscient. He knows all things. He knows what we need, Sister Jean. He knows what we need. Here's our assignment. Somebody said, my assignment. What was that? Mission Impossible. If you choose to take this assignment, please. They play the little music. Wasn't that Mission Impossible? What was that? So here's our assignment, though. Real talk. Here's our assignment. But seek first. Seek first. Not all this other stuff. Oh, I'm going to make it. I'm going to get this. No, seek first. The kingdom of God. Remember when we were talking about God's kingdom earlier, was his rule, his reign, his way of doing things. So seek first God's will, God's kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all, somebody say all these other things shall be added to you. Jesus said, just get right with God first. Seek God first. Seek Christ first. Seek his kingdom, his right. Then all this other stuff. What other stuff? Well, we just mentioned some of that stuff. All your needs, all these things will be added to you. But seek first him. See, oftentimes saying we get it reversed. If we tell the truth, we seek all the other stuff first. And then as we're seeking other stuff, we say, oh God, come on and join me. Help me get this stuff, whatever that stuff is. No, Jesus said, seek first him, his kingdom, his righteousness. Seek first him. And then look, as a byproduct of seeking him, Jesus, he's going to take care of all your needs. He's going to take care of all that stuff. He's going to take care of all that. Seek him first. Somebody said, seek him first. Therefore, here it is, saints, and I'm through. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about tomorrow. These are the words of Jesus. He said, child of God, don't worry about tomorrow. He said, tomorrow will worry about his own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I mean, Jesus is not saying don't plan and don't, you know, prepare for the future. He's not saying that. But he's saying, don't be stressed out so much over this. Jesus said, hey, I should have some witnesses right here. Jesus said, hey, you got enough stuff to deal with today. Walk with me today. Let's deal with today. Don't be stressing out about tomorrow. And how many of y'all know most of the stuff we worry about, most of the stuff, I'm a witness, most of the stuff we worry about, I don't even have it come to pass anyway. Jesus said, don't be stressing out over tomorrow. Deal with today. How many of y'all know tomorrow never gets here anyway? Y'all know that? Y'all ever figure that out? Tomorrow never gets here. When it's tomorrow, it's really today. Tomorrow never gets there. So Jesus said, focus on today. So then our Father, he will provide for all of your needs. So I'm just saying, saints, to sum it up. A prayer for troubling times. When you and I pray for God's will to be done. Pray for God's agenda. Pray for God's kingdom, his will, his rule, his reign, his way of doing. Pray for God's will to be done. And as you pray and ask God to meet your needs, whatever those needs are. Pray for him to meet your needs. And I got a little biblical proof as I take my seat. We got some biblical proof that God meets those needs. If I ask Brother Elijah, who was hanging out down there by the brook, and God had these ravens to bring him bread and meat. I mean, that was Jim and John, that was Pizza Hut before we even had a delivery. God, he brought him food down there by the brook. The brook dries up. And Abraham, Elijah's like, what am I gonna do? God said, okay, go to this little city. You're gonna see this lady. She's gonna be gathering some sticks and go talk to her. And he saw this lady. She was gathering some sticks. He said, hey, what are you doing? She said, well, I'm gonna gather these sticks and, I'm gonna go in, me and my son. I'm gonna make us a little bit of cornbread and then we're gonna eat this and we're gonna die because it was a drought. Elijah said, I'm talking about how God's gonna meet all of our needs. Elijah said, well, just make me a little piece of bread first. Wait a minute, Elijah. She just told you she didn't have enough for her and her son. But she obeyed the man of God. She obeyed God, went in, and y'all know, I got some Bible readers in the house. I just know how God meets all of our needs. And they went in that house, and they were there day after day. The Bible didn't say how long, but day after day after day, they kept having enough food to eat. God can provide when we don't even know how he provides. God can take somebody like Moses and told him, go to a rock. They needed water. Went to a rock. And guess what? God made water come out of a rock. Now, if we got a God that can make water come out of a rock, if we got a God that can make water come out of a rock, he can definitely take care of my little knees and your little knees. We can see God even with Jesus with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, a little sardine sandwich, 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And Jesus takes that and prays to God, Brother Joshua. And guess what? God fed 5,000, not counting women and children, at least 15 or 20,000 people with just 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, 5 little pieces of bread. Now, surely if God can take 2 fish and 5 little pieces of bread and feed thousands of people, surely he can keep a little food on my table. It's only 3 of us in the house, so I'm sure he can keep a few, he can get food on my table. God can meet our needs. Just ask him to provide for you. Our God can hear and answer prayers. He's still in the prayer answering business. I said he's still in the prayer answering business. And as a follower of Christ, as a worshiper of God, I don't know about you, but when you watch the news, and I be informed, I watch the news, I watch the different news channels, seeing all the stuff going on in the world, and sometimes that stuff will kind of stress you out a little bit. Sometimes you will get a little anxious. I don't know about you, but I found a quick remedy for that. I don't know about you. You can try this if you want to. I just begin calling on the name of Jesus. I said, Lord, I'm getting a little anxious. I'm getting a little anxious. But when I call on the name of Jesus, now that's not just a cliche. I'm saying if I call on the name of Jesus, I seem to get a little more calm. And that shouldn't surprise you because there's power in that name. There's power, Sister Chapman, in the name of Jesus, Brother Jackie. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. I said, demons tremble at the name of Jesus. People are healed at the name of Jesus. I mean, lepers are cleansed at the name of Jesus. People that were blind, they regain their eyesight at the name of Jesus. It's just something about the name of Jesus. One day, every knee is going to have to bow. Every tongue is going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's something about the name of Jesus. I'm just saying, it's something about that name. There's salvation in that name. There's deliverance in that name. There's hope in that name. There's joy in that name. There's peace in that name. There's something about the name of Jesus. There's strength in that name. There's power in that name. Oh, I'm just going to keep on saying this until y'all catch it. There's joy in that name. There's something about the name of Jesus. There's stability in that name. He is our stronghold. He is our high tower. He is our balm in Gilead. He is our water in the midst of a drought. He is our food when we are hungry. He's our water when we are thirsty. He's our bridge over troubled water. He's our joy in the midst of sorrows. He's our peace when we are stressed out. It's something about the name of Jesus. Oh, if you hadn't tried him, you ought to try him. It's something about the name of Jesus. Just something about the name of Jesus. I'm just going to say his name just a few more times. Something about the name of Jesus. It's just something about that name. It's just something about that name. It's something about the name of Jesus. I say it's something about the name of Jesus. The coronavirus has to bow down at the name of Jesus. President Trump has to bow down at the name of Jesus. Lucifer had to bow down at the name of Jesus. It's something about that name. I'm glad I serve that name, the name of Jesus. There's joy in that name. There's peace in that name. There's hope in that. Oh, I'll have a few witnesses. There's hope in that name. There's deliverance in their name. There's freedom in the name of Jesus. I once was bound deep in my sin, sinking deep down. And oh, I call out to Jesus. He came and rescued me and pulled me on up. Oh, Jesus is an awesome God. He's an awesome God. He can bring you from the uttermost. I mean, from the guttermost and take you to the uttermost. He's an awesome God. Something about the name of Jesus. You ought to just clap your hands one time. Something about the name of Jesus. Something about the name of Jesus. Something about the name of Jesus. There's power in that blood. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. When sinners plunge beneath that flood, y'all don't hear me. When sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all. Lose all. lose all their guilt and stain. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ, you've been justified. You've been declared righteous. You've been sanctified. You've been set apart. And if you're not in him, you ought to get with him. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Here's a right now, God. Today is the day of salvation. He told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Stand to your feet. I'm through. But our God, he hears our prayers during these troubling times. And I'm not minimizing the things that we deal with on a daily basis. I'm not just talking about just the virus, but other stuff that you and I deal with. Check this out. Dangers seen and unseen. But if God has kept us thus far, I said he's kept us thus far, Sister Rocket. He's kept us thus far, Sister Cousin. He's kept us thus far. I said his track record is pretty good. Matter of fact, his track record is great. It's impeccable. He's kept us thus far, Sister Ariana. He's going to keep us. Maybe if you're here today, maybe you don't know him personally. I'm talking about a prayer for troubling times. Maybe your prayer is a prayer of repentance.